Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh Design chat for Wednesday, the 16th of August, year 2023. And the dystopia out there, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And of course, the worse it gets, the more folks that are waking up, which is good news. It's just a shame that it takes this much pain and this much dystopia to get through our thick-headed kinfolk. But if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. We said 24 years ago when we started this radio broadcast, if we had to wake up everybody one Israelite at a time, that's what we would do. And lo and behold, that's about how long and how many at a time we seem to get, about one or two at a time. It's been a very painfully slow process. There are signs that a multitude are starting to get angry about what's going on, and even some showing signs of repentance. And as Randy was saying before we started the broadcast, realizing that this is a spiritual war, and that if we don't align ourselves with our commander-in-chief, who is Yahweh, our creator, it's a lost cause. So people are starting to figure that part of it out too, which is what I've been waiting to hear, because there are no man-made solutions, there are no political solutions, there are no institutional solutions to our problem. Our problem is that our people have become reprobate, and they have to repent of that and come back to the fold, so to speak. And that's the biggest thing that's on our plate. A couple of other items before we open up the floor here. What happened to the people, poor people there on Maui? It is a duplicate of what happened to Paradise, California, over a year ago. And it's basically the premier real estate in that area. And there are many of the hypocritical cabal people that have mansions and estates there. And this is basically them working with the criminals within the military to burn out the natives so that they get off their land. They want that real estate all for themselves. So the native people there in Hawaii did not want to sell out to the New World Order crowd, and so the New World Order crowd decided to direct energy weapons on them and burn them out. And of course, the Hawaiian government is complicit with all this. And it's no different than what happened during the 2020 and 2021 riots, when Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who were just foot soldiers for these same Jewish cabal people, they went in and they burnt certain sections of major cities. And as Catherine Austin Fitz pointed out, these areas were development areas. And just like Jewish Lightning, in every other case, the BLM and Black Lives Antifa folks went in and burned the areas to drive out the people that wouldn't sell out to the elitists. And so they finally gave up, and the Jews were able to come in there and buy up that property for pennies on the dollar. So they drive out the people they don't like, and at the same time, they lower the price so that they can pick up major real estate for pennies on the dollar. It's typical Jewish Lightning. And so what happened in Maui is just another form of Jewish Lightning. So people need to wake up and understand this is fourth generational warfare that's going on, maybe even fifth generational at this point. And it's a good time to pull out that old document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. I saw a good meme that went around today about that. Folks probably haven't read that short document, but it's very pertinent to what we see going on today. So, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. If you cannot find it, contact me. And again, you can go to PastorDan.net. And on the Contact Us page, just send me a note and give me your email address. And I'll be glad to send you a PDF copy of the Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars document. It's time to get educated, okay? Knowledge is power. I've been trying to train my children and my close friends about that for many, many years, because my father is the first one who told me about it. Knowledge is power. The scriptures talk about it as well in Proverbs and Psalms. Okay, and Yeshua talked about it when he said, the truth shall set you free. You have to have knowledge or truth. They could be used almost like they're synonymous terms. Knowledge or truth is what you have to have in order to overcome the machinations of the beast. So we work together as a team to educate and edify each other. That's partly what this little social hour is here every Wednesday night, a chance for Israelites to get together and share our information, what we see firsthand, a firsthand witness to what's going on and all that stuff. And the idea, of course, is to enlighten us, but also to edify us, to build us up. Because these are dark days, and a lot of people are suffering from depression, anxiety, frustration, anger. It's putting a lot of pressure on a lot of relationships right now. And so it's very, very important that we understand all that and we take advantage of every opportunity to talk to each other and reach out to each other for, again, fellowship and educating one another on this network. With that, I don't really have anything else that was heavy on my heart to bring tonight, so I want to open it up and see what everybody else has got to bring. I'll start with Ella, see if she has anything. Did you have anything you want to bring to us there, Ella?
Not really. I mean, direct energy weapon fires, I think they are not only just to get rid of land, like you said, for the rich people to come along and get things on pennies on the dollar, but I have the theory that they are preparing the land for smart cities in many places, like in California and everything, where they want to clear out places to put their settlements of the smart cities in. If they clear the land and people have to move out and nobody builds on them, then they can put their smart cities in. And they've already started in many other countries already to do this, where the 5G controls them totally. The smart cities are to actually imprison people in their lifetimes. You know, like Klaus Schwab said, you will own nothing and be happy. Well, that's it. They don't want us to own anything. They want us to give us a set amount of money every month to live on and keep a social score on us like they do in China. And if you fail to keep the social score, then they can limit the amount of money you get or the reward you get by being able to leave anywhere. You will not be able to go anywhere by plane or train or automobile or anything. Everything that you have access to will be within 15 minutes of your home. They'll control your electricity, how much heat you have, how much air conditioning you have. And it's already being set up. So that's another reason I think that they are using these new weapons to clear land. Okay, I'll yield.
Okay, very good. John, do you have anything at this time? Just listening, I take it. All right.
Yes, I'm listening, but I don't have anything right now.
Okay, John. No problem. Okay, how about you, Randy?
Yeah, I got a few things to say. Just to kind of add on what she was talking about. Isn't it interesting how they call it all smart technology? Smart meters, smart watches. You know, I remember, going back to, what was it, the Obama administration, I believe, is really when these smart meters, a lot of that was coming into play. And a lot of us were resisting this technology going way back then because we knew what this was all going to lead to. You know, this is all part of the beast system. And really, you see the censorship that they do with the Internet. And, you know, this really takes internet censorship to a whole new level. Not instead of getting kicked off the internet and you creating a new account and making a comeback, not now they're going to really come, you know, they have the potential of really coming after your life. I mean, yeah, flip of a switch, they could turn power off, basically control, you know, what you can or can't buy in the store. Now think about this, folks. We all know that they want gun control, right? So they could literally use all this technology to control what you buy. Yeah, there we go. They don't. They if they decide, this is coming out of Rahm. This is coming out of Rahm Emanuel's mouth years ago. He had talked. It's on video. It's been on the YouTube for years. He talked about the gun control stuff, and he was saying that, you know, basically that if they, we all know who they are, if they determine that you're a possible, this is the word that he used, a possible terrorist, not that you've actually done anything, they could just say, we think you're capable, or we think you might do something. They want to be able to say, you don't have a right to keep and bear arms. That's where all this is. We know this, folks. They want to shut us up, take away our guns, and control every aspect of our life. This is the beast system that the Bible warns us about. And you think what they did during the COVID with the mask. You don't wear the mask, you can't come in here. Think about if we have a digital-only currency, what that will lead to. You know, I'm not trying to fearmonger, folks. I think we all just see the writing on the wall here of where this is all headed. So, you know, I did my best back in whatever 2008, 2010, whatever year it was when these smart meters were rolling out. I went down to my county commissioner. It even made a little blurb in the news. We told them back in, we do not want this. We know and we understand this is a part of like a surveillance type system, and we don't want it. And there was other people rejecting it for other various like health reasons and stuff like that. But we've been resisting this stuff the best that we can for years, and we have been completely vindicated. We saw the writing on the wall going back all those years ago. We have been warning the people, but here we are. They just keep pushing. They don't just push a little piece of this technology or like the whole. They don't just like roll it all out at once on you. They do this over a slow period of time. Oh, look at the little smartwatch. Ooh, here comes a smart. And just everybody keeps adapting to it, little by little.
Do you remember what the acronym SMART stood for? Something about strategic military, something, something. Secret military.
I don't remember.
Something that's, secret, you know, military research department. Or research technology, that's what it was, something like that. I can't remember. But it has something to do with secret military, blah, research, and NT. I can't remember. But nobody sees that. They just see smart, and they think, well, I'm smart, so I'm going to get smart stuff. And some people are just addicted to technology. I know grown people. This one guy in particular, he's in his 50s now. As soon as something new technologically comes out, he's got to run out and buy it. Even though it's 10 times more expensive than it should be, it doesn't matter to him. He's got to have the latest computer, the latest cell phone, the latest TV, you name it, he's got to have it. He's actually addicted to this stuff. And now they've got a whole generation of our children that are addicted to these damn things. I yield.
Well, what they're doing now, too, is to add on to what Randy said, is they're trying to get the guns. And this country is the last resort in the world that has guns. That's why they're putting the smart cities in the other countries, because the people can't defend themselves. So now with the COVID thing, the masks and everything else going on, what they are doing now, since people have not been given up their guns, what they're doing is they're driving people in order to take their guns. Because if they drive people crazy enough, and all these people, like 75% of the country is on antidepressants or other medications for ADHD, ADD, and all those non-existent diseases that suddenly popped up. If anybody is on any kind of medications like that, they will automatically be rejected from owning any guns. So the crazier they can drive us, the more they come close to the fact when they give the gun permits, they'll say, well, you can't have one because you're on antidepressants or there's somebody in your house on them, so we can't take a chance on you owning guns. Okay, I'll yield.
Yes, now the gun control issue, see, that's like a, there's a lot of things that play with the gun control. It's not that they just want to take away our guns, but you see how they use their little left-wing foot soldiers to come at us anytime there's a little, like, a school shooting or something like that. They get those left-wing wackos all up in a frenzy, and then they're all over social media, right? Oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And you know, they're using them little foot soldiers, and they're trying to pit them against us. I mean, all this gun control stuff and the way they pit the left-wingers at us, I mean, it's the whole damn system is just sick. You see the psychological operation that they're playing with these people. These people are so mentally unstable. I mean, you know, they sit there and they lecture to us anytime there's a shooting, right? They lecture to us about how we need mental health evaluations, but they're the ones that are cool taking their kids down to the doctors and doing this whole sex change thing. I mean, but they say that we are the ones that need mental health evaluations. I mean, the whole damn system is sick. God help us.
Amen. You're right. Well,
Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0, folks. We're reliving Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 discusses the condition of mankind at this time. I don't remember anything in that long list of bad behavior that we're not exhibiting right now. So it's pretty evident that we've reached the end of the age. You know what I mean?
I mean, I would say most of us that are probably listening, we really like this whole transgender stuff. Like, this didn't just start. This stuff is in the Bible, folks. We're repeating history. It's all.
I've been picking out trannies for 10 years now and trying to tell people this is happening, and it's just this last year where people starting to wake up to it. Almost every Hollywood actor is a tranny.
You know, and you see how the enemy plays word games with these people, right? And they got all these women out there thinking, oh, this is health care, and like this is a civil right, and they don't realize that when they're murdering their little babies in the womb, that it's not health care. They are literally participating in a satanic ritual. That's what that is. But they got all these women out there thinking it's their right to choose and it's health care. Oh, I tell you, Satan. Oh, Satan is back in the garden playing his little word games, just like he did with Adam and Eve, right? Oh, you silly ones, you can go eat of that tree. What a liar he is. he's got all these people out there deceived. Like, all the, you know, that's why they say, oh, you know, it's health care. It's your civil right. No, these people are so deceived, they're being used by Satan.
Yep.
All of it, man. The transgendered stuff, the gay stuff, just all of it.
Well, the whole society that it starts out multicultural is going to fail anyway, because you're going to get everybody there. It's like putting cats and dogs and chickens and wolves all together in one big pen and saying, okay, now get along. It's not going to happen.
The mixed multitude, nothing new under the sun, right?
Right. Well, it's a mess. It's a mess. How about any good news? I mean, we hear about the bad stuff all the time. Has anybody got any good things to share? Anything positive happening?
The system is being exposed like never before. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that all things will be revealed, and it is right now.
Yeah, amen
to
that.
All the freaking three-letter agencies are being completely obliterated all over the news, all over social media. People are finding out that well, it's not really Facebook that was censoring me. No, it was a three-letter agency with backdoor access. The whole government that said that they were going to uphold and defend our Constitution, they are being exposed as the greatest violators of our rights. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, remember when one of the shows we started talking about the fact that many of these creatures working in these agencies did not swear allegiance and swear an oath, take an oath of office, and it was shortly after that some general, if I remember right, it was either an admiral or a general, went in and they took video of all the CIA people restating their oath of office. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
That was a couple years ago, but I remember we were talking about it, and the internet was alive with a lot of discussion about how many of these people were holding offices where they are required to take an oath of office, because when they violate that oath, that is treason. And it was shortly after that, there was a video put out where some military guy, I believe it was the CIA, might have been the FBI, I don't remember. But some intelligence agency, they went into the various offices and they videotaped everybody standing up to retake their oath of office. So that's video evidence that if any of them participate in any of these criminal acts, they have committed treason, and it's now on tape. That's evidence that can be presented in a court martial to put these people on trial for treason, which of course carries a death penalty, huh?
Right, and there's no statute of limitations on treason either.
No, there is not. In my book, there's no statute of limitations on murder or any of the capital crimes: rape, murder, kidnapping, any of them, and certainly treason. Blasphemy of our Creator Father. To me, there is no statute. When the evidence comes out, if you're guilty, done deal. But we don't.
Here's interesting stuff coming out of Michigan. You know, these wicked witches of Michigan, Whitmer, Benson, and Dana Nessel, these three witches in Michigan, and they are literal witches, by the way. They're now trying to go after people that, you know, dare question what happened during the 2020 election. If people do dig enough on a little bit of research on Jocelyn Benson, that's our Michigan Secretary of State. We also know in Michigan that they've been pushing real hard for this, like, hate crime stuff. People probably been hearing about that. So it should come as no surprise to find out that Jocelyn Benson, we got the photograph, directly tying her with Boris Dees and the Southern Poverty Law Center. No big surprise, I bet, to you.
No. And you know that Whitmer itself is a tranny that used to work in the CIA, and she's a Jew. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes, Whitmer is a tranny, former CIA Jew. So she's got three huge check marks beside her name. All three are treasonous and a blasphemy against our Creator Fathers. So that's three major marks against that piece of garbage.
You know, Whitmer has been on a PR campaign about you know, if she put something out on social media, something about, you know, in Michigan, we're all about, like, you know, freedoms and rights. And I was like, really, lady? Or whatever she is. She got, you know, she and her bandwagon of witch friends went after business owners during their plandemic, right? But when she got caught violating the same rules, she didn't get arrested. She didn't go to jail. She didn't get in trouble. But they had business owners arrested and fined. I mean, this is just typical hypocrisy with their people. You know, they can do whatever they want. Nothing happens. But boy, oh boy, you get caught violating their rules, yeah, you're going to jail. You're getting fined. You're getting prosecuted. That's a sickness of this whole system, man. Oh, it's just complete sickness.
That reminds me of, is it Luke chapter 12? where he says to beware. Here it is. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Meanwhile, when a multitude of many thousands had gathered together so that they trampled on each other, he, being Yeshua, began to talk to his disciples, and he said, first of all, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
So he gave us a major clue besides the clue about wolves hiding in sheep's clothing, which is another hint. But beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. These people are consummate hypocrites.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, and I think people are, that's kind of a part of this awakening process, is people realizing that.
I know for a fact
people are waking up, because you just go glance at their social media and then go read the comments. These people are getting slammed on social media. Almost everything these hypocrisy people are posting, they are getting nailed by everybody. It's just awesome to see people finally starting to speak out against them like this, because let me tell you, man, these people on the left and the communists and all these people, they're not used to being talked to like this by the average person. This has only been going on for a short while, folks. Like, a lot of us realize all the stuff that's been going on, but their social media accounts in previous years that I remember, they were not getting this kind of they just weren't being talked to like this on social media like they are now. I mean, people have just had it with these people.
Do you realize that we're one breath away from having a tranny for president? Because Kamala Harris is a tranny.
I remember what Joan Rivers said about Michael Obama.
Yeah, well, Big Mike, we knew about him
Obama,
a long time ago.
Kamala Harris, if
Biden, who isn't even Biden, Biden died a couple of years ago, so I don't know who that guy is pretending to be Biden, but he is so senile now, if he kicks the bucket tomorrow, Kamala Harris will be president. That's frightening.
Well, Biden's definitely on the stage. I think we've all seen the videos of that. That's confirmed. Yeah, he's on a production set for sure, whoever it is.
Right. And, yeah, we're falling apart at the seams. We're coming apart, no doubt about it. I wanted to ask you, Randy, what your opinion is where we are on the timeline. How much time do you think before the tipping point's reached and this thing goes hot?
I don't know. But I tell you what, every day that we wake up and we have another day to prepare for the inevitable, I think people should do that, because that really is like the main thing that we do have control over at this moment, is making sure that we have all of our things that we need in preparation. That is, just basic emergency, essential, whatever you want to call it, preparedness. Food, water, way to protect yourself. I mean, we have complete control over that. And that's what I think our main focus needs to be, is making sure that we are ready. Don't get caught off guard. And we've talked about emergency preparedness for years. And I think it's even more crucial now.
Oh, yeah. Amen. We started talking about it with the first programs, because that was in the latter part of 1999. And that was right before year 2000, so we kicked it off talking a lot about it, perhaps because there was real concern at that time that the whole computer system would go down. Of course, it didn't, but there was concerns that it might.
Yeah, we don't want to wait for the storm to hit and be caught off guard. You want to be prepared before the storm hits, because we've already seen the videos. What happens when people can't get something as simple as toilet paper and they freak out and they start acting like animals at the store fighting each other over toilet paper? So the message here is to be prepared before the storm hits. It's just common sense.
Right. By the way, Randy, I was talking about Luke chapter 12, verse 1, and verse 2 is what you were talking about. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known.
Absolutely.
So with the technology today is a double-edged sword. it's being used by criminals to try to electronically enslave us, but Yahweh is allowing all this technology to be used to bring out and reveal truth and reveal the criminals and the antichrists amongst us.
Absolutely.
So it's like everything on earth. You can take a hunk of wood and you can turn it into a tool to build a house or a weapon to take a man's life. It's all in what you do with the tool.
Yeah, it's currently a weapon that's being used without a shot being fired against the enemy right now.
Yeah. Yep. Silent weapons for quiet wars. Yep.
Yep. And I'm enjoying every minute of it.
He's very excited. Oh, man.
See, I mean, huh? Our Father, this, because I try to be positive when I can, but our Father, folks, I don't say this lightly. Our Father chose us to be here during this time. Think about all the people that come before us that saw what eventually would kind of unfold. They just kind of, but they didn't get to, like, they're not alive, but they were warning people, right? But they're not alive right now during this time, though, that for whatever reason, our Father chose us to be here during this time to witness all of this unraveling. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
We read about in Scripture about how our people are finally released from bondage. And I don't say this lightly either, folks. We are possibly on the verge of being released from this slave system once again. Hallelujah. And I am speaking about the Federal Reserve, the IRS, all these things that have enslaved us. We are on the verge of finally having those shackles broken. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing, would it not?
Yes. Because,
wouldn't it be nice?
Say, not all, as some would say, you know, because all these people out there call, oh, well, slavery ended, blah, 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 blah. Slavery didn't end. Look, just because we're not wearing physical shackles, right? We have been enslaved to these people. We have been. All this Federal Reserve, this IRS stuff has nothing to do with the foundation of our country. These are things that came in later. And, of course, people in our government that didn't protect and preserve our Constitution as they swore that they would do, allowed these things to happen, and now we're suffering the consequences of this treason.
Yeah, we allowed an enemy to creep in and obtain positions of power who have no loyalty to us as a people, our country, or our founding documents. They're complete aliens. Aliens by culture, aliens by race, aliens by culture. Ideology. Okay? So they're completely foreign. And that's why you got to remember, we've talked about the Kol Nidre prayer that the Jews pray every year. Kol Nidre means all oaths. And they say a prayer every year at Yom Kippur in their synagogues where they disavow any oath that they take to a non-Jew. So going into the courthouses, putting their hand on a Bible, swearing to tell the truth, standing before anybody putting their hand on a Bible, swearing to uphold the Constitution, swearing to do anything, they have no restrictions on them because of in their religion anyway, because they prayed the Kol Nidre prayer. So they can say, I swear to tell the truth, I swear to uphold the Constitution, whatever, but in reality, they have no intention of upholding that oath from the start, because their very religion teaches them that they're allowed to say that, even though they know damn well they're not going to do it, because it's all part of their culture and part of their religion, their Talmudic religion. I yield.
Dan, do you think we ought to all try to start getting a system together of some kind of barter or some kind of system where we can do exchanges without money?
Well, yeah, I think that's going to kind of happen organically, to be honest. People are working on that. In fact, I know people even here in this state that have been working on it for over 5 years. So I believe when we actually see it starting to go into the toilet, a lot of these systems that are kind of like experimental right now, they're going to come up to the surface almost immediately. And a lot of people will jump in there almost instantly to take part in bartering. It may be a form of state script or county script or even local precinct script like Ithaca, New York did for decades successfully. And so did other cities or small towns across America, like 60 or 70 of them. They all did the same thing, and they all did it successfully. So we already know that works. It's just whatever the local economy will accept, and we can generate a script. We can use anything. We can use clamshells. We can use gold, silver, platinum, anything that has intrinsic value. Typically, you want something that's not going to rust or fade away. That's why gold was so often used. Even in a house fire, after the fire dies down, you can go in and find a little pool of molten gold that solidified and get your gold back. So it's going to happen, I think, organically. What we need to have happen is people to be prepared mentally. The actual coming out and forming homesteads and farming communities, that's happening in Central Florida right now. There's a 400 and some acre permaculture community already formed right there in Central Florida. And that's not the only one, but it's one of the biggest ones that I know of. And they're teaching other people how to do it, and it's starting to pop up all over Florida, parts of Texas, and I'm sure Alabama and Georgia and places like that is going to happen as well. So these things are happening organically as our people who are survivalists, they see the treason, whether the media talks about it or the church talks about it or not. Doesn't matter. The people that have a brain that still functions see through all this bullshit, and they are taking steps to survive, just like the men of the militia I've talked to, the local security squads, if you want to call them that, little fire teams at the local level. Again, they don't go to meetings, podcasts, they don't advertise. But they meet regularly, they train with their weapons, they know who they can trust. These things have been going on for a long time because those who could see the handwriting on the wall knew it was time to prepare while we could. And so we're going to find out. A lot of people have been taking those steps. Now, at the same time, we're going to see, as Psalm 91 says, we're going to see thousands and thousands of people falling around us. We're already seeing that happen now. And we're going to see it even more then. But we have to remember, that's supposed to happen. Okay? The unrepentant, the terrors, are supposed to be gathered up and burnt. And I'm not going to lift a finger to stop it. And I'm not going to lift a finger to try to save them. I'm not. We're done. We've been telling them what's been going on for 24 years here. Many other patriots have been doing it for 30 or 40 years. They've had plenty of time to wake up. If they're not awake now, shame on them. It's on their heads. No blood guilt for any of us. I've dedicated my entire adult life to trying to wake up people. So I have no blood guilt going to be on my head. And I'm not going to... What's that?
I'm 45 years old now, man. I've been doing this for over 20 years as well, man. It's just, it's crazy to think about how much time has passed. Wow.
I know.
I'm 80, and I've been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Ella's got the time record, as far as I know, in our little camp here anyway. She's been at this a very, very long time.
Hey, so, what do you think they ought to do? I've been reading in some places where they're thinking about instituting the draft again. I don't think that any parent should allow their kids to be drafted into an army that is going to be fighting against us.
Or fighting in places like Ukraine where we don't belong.
Oh, that's another Albania, like wag the dog. It's a distraction.
Yeah, I know, but it's like Vietnam. None of our boys should have been in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, Korea was not real. Vietnam was not real. I mean, it was real in the fact that people were killed and everything, but they were all distractions to keep our minds on the war and not what the governments were doing to us.
Well, yeah, of course, but we shouldn't have been there. That's the whole point. Yeah, it was a distraction, but we've got to stop supporting the beast. We got to stop sending them money, stop obeying them. We got to resist in every way we can. And if they come on the property, they are enemy combatants, and they should be dealt with accordingly.
Well, they're probably planning on some biggie very soon in the future, because if they're planning on reinstituting the draft, they have to invent something that causes the draft. So we can expect that they're going to be Albania or Korea or any other kind of places that they have as a hot war or something, they'll probably pick a war with China or Russia or something and say, well, hot war now. Now we have to get our citizens to come in and help so the draft is enforced. Then what do the people do? What do we do? How do we stop them?
Because then they sit in the, as we all know, they sit in the background and watch both sides go at it, and they fund both sides of the war. I mean, they really are.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But I think that they love it even more when we're killing our own people. They love that one even more.
Oh, FDR,
they would love
insurance
nothing more
than
us
time.
Going at it with, like, Russia or something. You know, they would love that. But we're not that stupid.
All right.
We're not that stupid. The people around us are pretty damn stupid right now.
Well, again, I take it as if they institute the draft, then anybody with a brain should resist it, okay? They should not go into the military under any circumstances, and they should resist it. Just as there were many people who resisted going in the military during Vietnam, okay? Now, I didn't understand it back then because I was young and stupid as far as what world events were all about, and I didn't understand about the Jew. So I didn't side with them. I didn't really hate them or anything, but I didn't really understand the total consciousness of their rejection of it. But today I understand it fully. In fact, I've got veteran friends that have said that they've told their children and their relatives that don't you dare put any of our young boys or young girls in our military today. Don't you dare do it. Because they're just cannon fodder.
What kind of scares me now? No, not scares me. I'm not scared of anything. I know Yahweh's in charge. But what I am very apprehensive about is people say, oh, we'll stand up and all that. But look how many stood up against the masks during the COVID fiasco.
That was a crazy time.
They all did as they were told. If they couldn't get on an airline, they got the jab and they wore the mask. Because they wanted to go somewhere. They didn't feel
I got kicked out of Menards. I got it on video. He was like, you got to wear a mask.
Yeah. There's only one store that I could not go in during that whole period because I've never put a mask on. And that was Sprouts. In fact, it was in Naples, Florida. And I just walked away and left my cart full of stuff and just left it on the floor. But that's the only one that this young punk manager said he was going to have me removed from the store. And I said, well, you're violating law, young man. And I said, if I wasn't in a hurry to go somewhere, I'd stay here and make a fight of this. But I've got somewhere to be, and I'm not going to put up with your bullshit. And I just turned around and walked out of the store. But that was the only store that he didn't care about the ADA or the HIPAA, nothing. He just said, you know, you have to have one. But he's young punk. He thought he was doing a service to the people that pay his paycheck, and so he wouldn't listen to reason. But everywhere else that I told him about it, and I went all the way up to the manager, they backed off, and I was able to finish my shopping without any more harassment. So, again, you know, what I was amazed of in the last 3.5 years is how few people had enough guts to fight at all. at least put up even a token resistance. Most of the people that I thought I respected and I thought had guts and brains, they didn't resist at all. They didn't protest at all. They didn't do anything, even though the mandates gave them an out. Every mandate I've read.
You know what they said, brother? They said, it's just a mask. That's how it all starts, right? It's just a
mask.
Oh,
I know.
It's just a vaccine. Where do we ever draw the line, right?
Oh, I know. I know. And now a lot of those people have heart.
Pastor Dan, for those of us that stood up to maybe like think about maybe going back to these stores and seeing if those people are still working. They're like the guy I got on videotape that got me kicked out of Menards. I've often wondered what would it be like to go back there if he's still working there and just be like, you remember me? And just see, because obviously he's not going to be wearing a mask now, right? And be like, you know, and just kind of confront them a little bit about it, you know? Like, in my case, I'd show them the video. Be like, remember this, dude? Remember how you treated me? Not look at you standing here not wearing a mask. See, I was right, buddy. I probably should go back to see if he's still working now. I got it on video. I'm gonna get my boss. I was like, you go do that. Oh, I say. But hey, things were so crazy. Here's how crazy. I went into a Walmart, and I had a military gas mask. But the kicker is I didn't put a filter on it, right? Because like nobody's. All they're going to see is all he's wearing a mask, but the joke is I wasn't wearing a filter. And I went into Walmart with it. Like, the pandemic, like, it could have been any other time, right? If somebody would have wore something like that in the Walmart, they would have probably called 911. But, like, during the pandemic, it's cool to be crazy. Like, you could get away with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wore a gas mask in a Walmart with no filter.
If I had seen you, I would have winked at you and smiled because I knew exactly what you were doing.
making fun of it, yeah.
Uh-huh, I know.
It was hysterical, man. Like I said, before the pandemic, if I would have walked in there with something like that, people would have freaked out and probably called 911. But in the pandemic, man, it was cool to be crazy.
Cool to be crazy.
I did have a little bit of fun with it. I sure did.
Right. It's been a crazy time.
Because we knew it was all BS. We knew it was all BS.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well, everybody that did not put the poison in their body has been vindicated at this point.
Absolutely.
Everybody. You know, I don't know of a single person that didn't lose a member of the family, a close friend, a close coworker. I don't know anybody that has not lost somebody. Due to putting that poison in their body. I don't know. This is just a crazy time. You know, like you said, Randy, we, you know, on the radio back in 99, 2000, the early 2000s, we used to talk about what we saw coming. We talked about the financial collapse. It would have to be a financial collapse to wake our people up. It'd have to be something really severe, like a 2x4 hitting them upside the head. And sure enough, that's what's happened. I mean, it is so insane right now. It is literally like somebody hitting you over the head with a 2x4. Which, for people that don't know about lumber, a 2x4 is a piece of lumber down at the Home Depot and other places.
I try to be humble about it, though, because, I mean, it's not like, I'm not that guy that's like, I told you. It's like, I don't want to be, it's like, we were just doing this because we cared about our people, man. That's the whole reason why any of us ever did any of this. Believe us, folks, I mean, most of us, like, that I know, like, in this patriot movement and whatnot, like, we're just average working people. I've been a truck driver for over 20 years. Like, we were just saying, hey, these are the things that we see. Here's, you know, you should prepare, do these things, and it's just because we cared. That's all it was. We were motivated by loving and caring about our people. That's it. And here we are, still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still driving a truck. I've been driving a truck for over 20 years.
Yep.
And that was crazy to drive a truck during the pandemic time. Man, these roads were like a ghost town. I mean, like, you know, most of these big cities that would have typically, like, had rush hour at 5 p.m., I never even touched the brakes. And most of these cities just trucked right on through 65 mile an hour. it kind of felt like there was a rapture and I got left behind. These roads were empty. Everybody was at home scared. I mean, man, what would they have done without us truckers? Or, you know, the few people that did go to work and, you know, made sure those goods still got to the stores. I mean, think about it, folks. We don't live on family farms. It would have been a real mess.
I remember in March, and I think it was in April, when we drove from Virginia back down to Florida on I-95, and you're right, I've never seen I-95 with so few cars on it. But you know what was the amazing thing was there was absolutely no reason to not take your car and drive on down the highway. There was absolutely no reason. There was no signs of any kind of checkpoints. There were no signs of anybody, anything that showed that there was an actual pandemic. Nothing.
I didn't have no problems driving. Nobody stopped me. As a matter of fact, I hardly saw police. Like, I didn't see police, like, patrolling around. Didn't see military, you know, humming up and down my mostly truckers out here on the highways. We kept this country moving. We never complained. And, you know, by all rights, like, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like in the statistics of the one, like the way they were trying to come across, like I should have been one of the first ones flopping over dead from all this. But here I am. You know, I survived Y2K and pandemic. I guess I'm pretty invincible.
Yeah, that was another non-event, the whole Y2K year 2000 scare, right?
Man, we've survived a lot, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
All these things we're supposed to be afraid of.
Well, they always want you to be afraid because people that are afraid easily give in and acquiesce.
And it worked because look at all the people that were wearing the mask. I mean, they were scared. It worked. I mean, that was showing us that through the government and the media and how they control and manipulate people, they do have a lot of power and control over these people. They absolutely do. Because we saw 99% compliance. When I went into a store, it was hard to find one or two other people not wearing a mask.
Right.
And a lot of these stores, folks, like the Walmarts and all that, most of the ones that I went to, I would just tell them, hey, I've got a medical exemption. Nine out of ten times, like, it wasn't even really an issue. Just, like, for some reason at that Menards. But most of these Walmarts, like, just tell them, hey, I got a medical exemption. Most of them, they were cool with it. That's all you had to do to resist. That was it.
I know.
I mean, nobody tried to wrestle me to the ground or call the cops. None of that. 9 out of 10 times, hey, no problem, man. Go ahead. That was it. That's all you had to do.
I know. I know. You know, what's the biblical way of expressing the people that went along with the program and acquiesced? Wouldn't you say that would be the equivalent of worshiping the beast?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Because we wonder, like, how many people would take the actual, like, digital currency, the mark, or any of these things. And, well, I mean, so many people just put on a mask and didn't question it. So it's like, I think a lot of people probably would take the chip if, you know, come to shove. And this is why I always say we should be prepared, because you don't want to find yourself in a desperate situation. Because if you're in a desperate situation, as far as, like, you're not having food, your kids are starving, I mean, You might decide to take the chip just so you can feed your family. So to prevent that, right? You want to make sure you're prepared.
Amen. Yeah, like good Boy Scout, you prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
And it's like the old soldier used to say to the troops, you know, a good soldier prepares for war and prays for peace. But you prepare for war at all times. In fact, the scripture tells us that. I read last Sunday, I think I read the scripture where it says that the Father trains my hands to make war. All right? Because that's what we're here for. We are here to enforce His law. And we are here to be good people trained at violence to subdue and apprehend bad people who are violent. Okay, so we're not supposed to be little passive little wimps. We're supposed to be warriors. That's what the whole code of the samurai, I don't call them a cult, but the samurai institution, we'll call it that, over in Japan. That was their whole philosophy, just as it was the Knights of the Round Table and the Knights of the Middle Ages in Europe. The knight was respected because he was like a samurai. He was trained in combat and warfare and violence, but for the good, to protect the innocent. And so they were held in high esteem. So it's the same thing. That's what we are supposed to be today. We're supposed to be the knights of this age, the lions, who are trained and capable of violence, but we only pull it out and use it when there is an assault being committed against us and people that are like the widows and orphans, the weaker people amongst our society who cannot defend themselves. And that's why I say, if the beast system wants to pick on the zombies, they don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to go out to defend them. They can have all the zombies they want. Chew them up. But if they come on my turf,
like a feeding frenzy.
Yeah, if they come on my turf or they come on my neighbor's turf and he's a like-minded individual, or he comes on the turf of the widows and orphans who are Yahweh's people, that's a whole different story. It's game on, and let the battle begin.
Yeah, and that kind of going back to like the being prepared, because we also have to prepare ourselves for those that didn't prepare and think that they're going to have a right to come take what we got. Because look, I'm all in favor of helping somebody, but the minute they think they have a right to maybe come through my door uninvited and take whatever they want, that's no. We're not playing that game. And that's people have to be prepared for people not, you know, being right in the head.
Right. Well, you got to remember, Yahweh's people would not do that. So correct. If somebody comes to your door with the intention of breaking in and taking what you've got, he's a zombie. And any good person should eliminate zombies, okay? Absolutely. You drop them right on the spot. And by the way, I live in an area where alligators have to eat too, you know? So we got a perfect disposal system for the zombies and for the New World Order enforcers out there. When we drop you in your tracks, we're just going to haul you out by the truckload and let the alligators have a feast.
They're certainly going to be happy.
Oh, yeah. They'll make quick work of it. Make quick work of it. It'd be like the old days when the people out in the Wild West and everything else, when they wanted to get rid of the body on a perpetrator, they just fed them to the pigs. Pigs are notorious for doing the exact same thing. That's why we're not to eat the pig. The pig is probably one of the ultimate scavengers that's out there, and it's unfit for using as a food, completely unfit. And I gave it up. Oh, my God. I was in my, I think I was in my 20s, my late 20s when I realized the food laws were legit. And I gave up pork not only because of that, but I was at the same time learning about natural health. And it's kind of funny that the rules for natural health align with what the Bible says almost perfectly. So, Ella says the Texas motto is shoot, shovel, and shut up. So, yeah, I go along with that. But anyway, well, I gave up pork. What's that?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. So, anyway, I gave up the pork, and to be quite honest, I don't miss it. I've never missed it a single day of my life since I gave it up. There's so many good foods out there, and here's the beautiful part. When you give up eating the scavengers and eating the shit food that they put in the stores, your taste buds change. You start to be able to sense the sweetness and flavors that are in the natural foods that you couldn't taste before, and you find out that you don't need a lot of these artificial enhancers and other sweeteners and garbage like that. The the real food comes alive almost, and you don't miss the junk food, not to mention the fact you're going to feel a whole lot better. A whole lot better. So, praise Yahweh. He gave us, he said, the food will be your medicine and the medicine will be your food. That's where the secret of success is, in nature and in the foods of nature, okay? That's where your health comes from. That's where your ability to overcome disease and illnesses, because illnesses and disease are just a sign that something's out of order in your body. It's not from an outside source. We live in an ocean of germs and microbes and all that. That isn't what makes you sick. What makes you sick is that you have not given your body what it needs. Maybe it might be not enough sleep or rest, or there's too much stress, or you're not eating the right foods, or you're not getting the vitamins and minerals that you need. Whatever it is, it puts your body in a dis-ease state, and the body is going to get rid of those toxins and everything. That's when you get sick. So this whole thing that they've got everybody afraid of is all a mental psyop, when in fact, you don't need any of that. All you got to do is learn what the body, how it functions, and it doesn't take very long, how it functions and what it is you need to do to keep your system in homeostasis, which means balance. Because a body in balance, you don't need to worry about disease, illness, cancer, none of those things. It's amazing. You don't have to worry about it. And you're going to age much slower. You're going to keep your natural abilities and your flexibility, your mental acumen, all that. You're going to keep those much longer. And you're going to have people look at you and go, I can't believe you're that age, whether it's 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever. They're going to say, I can't believe it. Just like I saw a picture here the other day, there's this guy 90-some years old, and he's still lifting weights. I mean, this guy is ripped. Now, I don't think he's on steroids either. So a 90-year-old man still working out in the gym and still has the body of about a 30-year-old. So it is possible. People say, oh, well, it's not possible, Dan. When God meant for me to die, when I get into my 60s, everything's just going to fall apart and I'm going to die. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. I'm here to tell you. It says in Scripture he gave him 20 years. I know there's other scriptures that seem to contradict that, but think about it. 120 years seems about right. If you take care of your body properly, you should, even in this poisoned atmosphere world we live in, if you do the right things, you should expect 120 years out of your body. And that doesn't mean in a wheelchair the last 30 years of it either. It means walking, talking, doing your day-to-day things, and then one day, just like Moses, you just sort of go to sleep and don't wake up. Not in pain, not in misery, not with tubes sticking out of your body. No, those are not natural. Those are not the way our Father intended. He intended for you to have 120 good years, and then it's just time to go home. That's all. It's just time to retire this meat sack that we occupy while we're walking this earth and go back to the other side. That's all. We've been here for 120. We've been tested. We've been put here to do a job. And then it's time to go home. Go back. What's the scripture say? Go receive your reward for how good a job you did. I want to hear those words. And I've said this for decades. I want to hear those words from the Father that says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. I can't think of any more beautiful words to hear than that. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. There isn't enough money on the earth to replace hearing those words from our Creator. Just isn't. I yield. Anybody got anything they want to add? I see Charles has joined us. Charles, I unmuted you, I think.
Hi, Darren. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
We're getting feedback.
We're getting feedback.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Hi, Ella. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Well, we can
hear
you.
Well, we can hear you, but
your speakers are putting the sound right back into the mic.
Huh.
So if you got a headset, use it.
I unplugged the speaker. Can you hear me any better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I unplugged external speakers. Maybe that's better.
That's better.
That's better.
Okay. Sorry I'm late. I'd like to point out, Brother Dan, excellent discussion on the military. One technical thing my legal brain kind of tweaks about, I may have mentioned it to you before, that word violence, that means unlawful force, aggressive force, brutal force, and technically, legalistically speaking, I think there's other words like force and military power and things like that. That word violence is best to avoid because that's unlawful. That's criminal in technical legal wording. And godly people technically don't engage in violence. I think that's kind of important to make clear for the public record here in case they want to send a SWAT team after us or anything.
Well, let them if they want.
Well, it's real clear. Good if we can make an argument that, no, we weren't really advocating violence. We just kind of chose our words a little bit goofy there. Sorry. We're only advocating armed to the teeth and strong, vigilante type fervent dedication to masculine defense of the homesteads and of the laws of nature and nature's God.
Right.
Right.
And that's the difference between speaking used words in common usage versus being in a courtroom where every word has a different meaning.
Well, in God's courtrooms, words don't have different meanings. See, that's the real issue before us because America was founded on godly common law principles where people where words have simple, honest meanings. The devil is the only one that benefits from all this confusion under the Roman Empire civil statutory system. God's people don't do that. So, yeah, we're in inherent conflict there.
Right.
Right.
Anything else?
Anything else?
I can't think of anything else right now. Right on. I love the fact that you guys are health food nuts, and I am too, and that whole thing about eating pigs and stuff, a lot of people don't get that, you know. There's real beauty in God's biblical laws there, and eating pork causes worms and all kinds of nasty stuff in your body, and it's really amazing that people don't have more respect for godly laws.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Dan, you have a big echo.
Yeah. I'm gonna. If you have more, put your hand up. I got a lot of echo.
Okay.
That's a good point about the eating a pig. And let me give you a little anecdote here that's very personal, and that's within my own family, my own siblings, and my own parents. Okay, so obviously my brother and sister and I all had the same DNA. My mom and dad lived together their entire adult life. So they all ate pork. I did not. Once I learned the truth, I stopped eating what little pork I did eat. As they got older, every one of them has dealt with arthritis. Okay, and in some cases, crippling arthritis. And I have no sign of arthritis whatsoever in my body. Not a bit of it. So right there in my own little control group, which was my immediate family, every other member of the family that thought I was crazy when I talked about the food laws suffered arthritis, and I don't have a bit of arthritis anywhere at 70 years old. So case closed. As my dad used to tell me all the time, you can't argue with success. It's one of the greatest little one-liners he ever gave me. You can't argue with success. And yet some people do. I still get people think that, oh, well, Dan, I should be able to eat anything I want. I don't give a damn. Go ahead and do it. But you're not going to convince me because I've seen success. And I'm not the only person that gave up that shit and got the blessing for it. But within my own family, I saw it, and you're going to tell me it's not true? And I go back to what Dad said many times. You can't argue with success. If it's working, you can't argue with it. Only a fool would argue with it. And yet, we got a lot of fools walking this earth in shoe leather, just zombies. I call them the zombies. And again, that's why I'm not going to lift a finger to help them. I stopped telling them about natural health. I stopped telling these zombies about what's going on in politics, what's going on in religion, what's going on in the corporations, because they're zombies. They're brain dead. They got no brains and no balls. They're zombies. So they're not going to hurt us, and they're not going to help us. So why even talk to them? Why even deal with them at all? Let's deal with the lions amongst our people. That's who we need to be focusing on, the lions, not the sheep. The sheep's days are over. They've had plenty of time to repent. And if they haven't done so by now, shame on them. It's the lions' time. It's time for the lions to rise up and start roaring and prepare for battle. Because if you don't, the enemy's going to come in and take care of it for you. So let me do a round here to get some last comments before we close here. Randy, anything in closing, buddy?
No, I think we've covered all the topics, man. Just continue to pray Yahweh and continue to pray for this corrupt evil system to finally collapse.
Yeah, amen to that. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Yep, praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. John, any comments or John in Miami there?
No, not me.
Okay. Very good, John.
No. Yes.
Yahweh bless. Miss Ella. Closing
I
comment.
I just wanted to say that eating that pork is really an essential thing. Because I ate a lot of it up until I came into your life or you came into mine. And I stopped when you told me about this. And before, 5 years ago, I had terrible problem with arthritis in my hands and in my knees. And now, since I've stopped, I have very little problem at all. I'm back to crocheting and I'm making bread again and I'm walking without a cane and I feel good. So much better. Yeah. So it's never too late to change the way, to improve the way you are today. That's all. Yah bless all.
Yeah, that's great testimony. Thank you. Yahweh bless. Kumri, did you have anything? Well, I talked to Charles. How about you, Jeffrey? Anything you want to add, buddy?
I just glad to be here. I got here a little bit late. I just called the to listen in and be part of it. I want to try to make sure that I set some time aside on Wednesday so like I can join this open forum and be part of it. Is that okay with you?
Well, absolutely. That's what it's here for, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm coming from Rigby, Idaho, and I called in for the first time a couple weeks ago. We're a couple we're 2 hours difference here. So I gotta remember what time you get started at 8 o'clock your time. That's 6 o'clock our time.
Correct.
So I'll try to get in here a little earlier next week. Make it a point to be a little more active and join in. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Are you on Pacific or Mountain Time?
We're on Mountain Time here.
Okay. Yeah, that's 2 hours then. All right.
Yeah.
Well, very good, Jeffrey. You have a great evening, and Yahweh bless.
Thank you, sir.
All righty.
I know.
All right. Good little chat. A lot of testimony, a lot of truth's been put out there if people care about the truth. I know a lot of people don't, but for the good souls out there that do care, and I want to thank Phil, my good friend here in Florida, sent me a very nice email today thanking me for all the emails I send out and encouragement and little educational things I send out. I'm going to tell you something. Those kind of feedback, whether it's a letter, a card, or an email, or a text, those things are as good as gold. They are the things that the true prophets of our Father work for. They don't work for dollars, Federal Reserve notes, or even gold and silver. They work for our people, and they work to hear the good souls when they repent and come back to the Father, come back to the truth. That is like putting a gold coin in our pocket, saying thank you. So to Phil and all the others that take the time to say hello and say thank you, it's appreciation is everything. Attitude in this world is everything. And don't ever forget that. And don't ever, ever, ever forget the power in a compliment. So many people are so quick to criticize, and yet they are so slow to lift somebody up or give a compliment. There's a lot of power. And I'm going to tell you something else. Our people in this day and age need that kind of reinforcement desperately. So if you have it within you to give a word of praise or compliment to a loved one or to a neighbor or to a coworker, anybody who deserves it, don't hand it out willy-nilly. You hand it out to those who deserve it. But if they are doing the work, if they're trying and they have the right attitude, then give that kind word. Lift them up. There's much power in the spirit and in the word when it's given properly. Much power. Kumri says here, wait a minute. Okay, never mind. I thought it had something to do with that. Okay, never mind. So I'll leave it with that and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, as always. And we thank you for this opportunity to use this technology to reach out to our brothers and sisters everywhere. We also thank you for the technology that allows us to record it and to save it for those that can't be with us live. We're doing our best to get your truths out there, Father, because you are the source of life and light, which is understanding and wisdom. And we need that desperately today. And we also need to have your Holy Spirit guide us in how to be true men and true women. So many of our people have lost that. As I say down here all the time, finding somebody who's professional and qualified in any kind of profession down here is almost impossible. There are so few people have any integrity and character today. So few. So those that do stand out. They shine like lights in the darkness. And we just say bless their hearts as well. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh, and be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always, Father, protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.